morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Good morning, and welcome to our worship service. Welcome, radio listeners. Allow me to tell you there are hymns for today. We will be following Divine Service Setting 3, beginning page 184. The opening hymn, 514, The Bridegroom Soon Will Call Us. Hymn of the day is our hymn of the month, 516, Wake, Awake, For Night Is Flying. During distribution, 603, We Know That Christ Is Raised. 461, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. 490, Jesus Lives, The Victory's Won. Our closing hymn, 621, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence. And if you do want to support the radio ministry, we'll be deciding as a congregation whether or not, or how long, or whatever, to continue. But you can make contributions specifically to the radio fund or make a pledge. If you want to make a pledge, let me know. We'll track that so we can make a decision accordingly. And I do want to read our stewardship thought for today. These are in here each week, usually based on the text, one of the texts. So based on Matthew 25:4, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. Why did they take flasks of oil with them? Because they listened to the bridegroom's words and believed what he said. Our actions always start with and flow from our beliefs. What do your actions in the realm of stewardship say about what you believe? So a little thought before we begin. Let us begin now with our opening hymn, 514.
Thank you.
please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord.
And you forgave me of my sin.
We allow time for silent reflection on God's word and also self-examination. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, the poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn to the introit in our insert and sing this together. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself. The sun and shield, be to God on high. At the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, the Holy Ghost, the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, send forth your Son to lead home his bride, the church, that with all the company of the redeemed we may finally enter into his eternal wedding feast through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Reading Testament is from Amos chapter 5. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, and the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your gongs, to the melody of your harps I will not listen, but let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. We continue, turn to the insert, and we continue with the gradual. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord. We stand in honor of the gospel.
Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. But when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins who rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.' This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen." You may be seated for our hymn of the day.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God calls us here to the divine service so he may pour out upon us and in us his spirit and to prepare us for his return. And we are to be watchful as this church here comes to its end. We're reminded that he's coming. It may be that he returns and we all are caught up together, or maybe when we die. And that will be the time when we are to be prepared to meet him. We come here in anticipation of his gifts, and we come with humility, with thanks. We're empty, we're broken, we're needy. We have nothing to offer God except our sins and our sinful condition. We confess this openly at the beginning of the worship service, and we're not worthy of the least of God's blessings, but God calls us here anyway. He wants you to receive his word of grace, his truth. He wants you to hear about his love for you revealed in Jesus Christ. God sent his son to do what you cannot do, so that rather you being hopelessly abandoned for all eternity, Jesus came to suffer and die for you. You're reminded of your baptism, where you were joined with Jesus, your sinful self put to death, and you were given new life in Christ. In baptism, you receive the Holy Spirit and the promise that you and all the saints were made clean by the blood of Jesus. And you will spend eternity with God and in his heavenly kingdom. You will join him at that banquet. You've been made a member of his church, and you are the beloved bride of Christ. In our worship service, you hear that. You, the bride of Christ, that you're forgiven, you're renewed. So God pours his grace on you through his word and through his sacraments. And he strengthens your faith. He gives you peace. He restores your hope. We come here empty. Then by the power of the Holy Spirit, through his word and sacraments, we leave full, overflowing, ready for life, ready for death, ready for Jesus to return for us. In the gospel reading today, we heard Jesus' parable of the 10 virgins. Half are wise, half are foolish. Half have oil, half don't. Half are welcome into the celebration, half are shut out forever. This parable does refer to the last day, the day that Jesus Christ returns to bring about the end of the age and the beginning of the new one, a new one, a day and an hour that, well, we're not going to know beforehand. But it'll be a glorious day for those in Christ as we will enter into the heavenly banquet. But for those who don't know Christ, for those outside of Christ, it's a dreadful day. They will be cast into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When Jesus returns, there will be a final judgment, and there will be this separation, an eternal separation of those who are declared innocent because of the faith they have in the saving work of Jesus Christ, and those who are declared guilty because they're outside of his grace, unable to give an account for their sins. And while it's not clear to us who is in his grace and who's not in, it is clear to God. The setting of the parable, it's a grand first century Jewish wedding. The groom and the bride have been betrothed. They have been made man and wife. After the betrothal, a certain amount of time is allowed to pass, and then on a certain evening, the groom and his friends went in this festive procession from the house he was living to the home of the bride to bring her and her maiden companions to the groom's home for the consummation of the marriage with several days of wedding festivities. This home bringing was not connected with a marriage ceremony. The husband merely took his bride to himself. In the end times, the heavenly bridegroom, Jesus Christ, takes his bride, the true church, to his heavenly home. There'll be a great feast and a celebration. The 10 virgins in the parable are friends of the bride, bridesmaids, who went from their homes with their lamps. They would go to a convenient place near the bride's home, And when the bridegroom brought the bride out of her home, these virgins came out to join the procession. They went with their lighted lamps and so they could join in the feasting and the celebration of the wedding in the groom's house. These 10 virgins in the parable, they represent the visible church, as we refer to it, those who appear to be following Christ throughout time and history, those who appear to be, you know, part of the church. In the parable, half are wise, half are foolish. They're all together. They're all together in the same place. They all have their lamps. They're all supposedly expecting the bridegroom to come. And they all think they're ready. Well, the wise have the oil. And that's the oil that they'll need when the bridegroom comes. The foolish, for some reason, don't have oil. Well, they're oil lamps. For the listeners at the time that Jesus told this parable, this would have been hard to imagine that someone would be so foolish. If you want to have your oil lamp burning, you bring oil. Well, the bridegroom was delayed. Everybody fell asleep. Wise and foolish, they all fell asleep. And the delay doesn't change the status of the virgins. If the bridegroom came right away, those foolish virgins were wide awake. They still would have been without oil. The wise virgins, well, they're ready. They can sleep securely knowing that they are prepared. They can't do any more to prepare. The lamps, they're not lit until the bridegroom comes. All of the virgins think they're ready. The dry works, well, they burn for a moment, but the foolish virgins, well, now they see what they lack, but it's too late. You see, we can't share what we receive as Christians. We receive the spiritual grace and the power that we need, but each person has to receive this for themselves. It can't be shared or transferred one to another. We certainly speak of God's word and his salvation in Jesus Christ, and we love our neighbors. We pray for them to believe, but it is God who gives the faith. It's God who chooses who will enter into his heavenly home. After the wedding procession enters the house, the door is shut. It's never again to be opened. The foolish virgins cry. They have no oil. The wise virgins, they got in because they had oil. We cannot get into God's kingdom without grace. It seems unimaginably foolish that anyone who has heard the good news of God's free grace, forgiveness, salvation, eternal life in God's kingdom through faith in Christ would believe that they do not need it. They don't need to believe Christ and what he's done in order to get into the kingdom. But this will happen when the Lord returns, and it does happen when people's earthly life ends. I'm going to tell you about a relative of mine. I want to tell you because he was baptized, confirmed, and raised in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He was married, raised 6 kids with his wife. He had a successful career as a surgeon. He loved life. He loved to hunt and fish. He also loved to gamble and drink and tell off-color jokes. And I would say he was a proud man. He liked to impress people. And I suspect his pride caused him to stop going to church. I don't know exactly when in his life. I wasn't that close to him. He wasn't that close of a relative. But I understand he had some disagreements with his pastor. There were at least 2 that I heard about. One, because the pastor wouldn't accept his medical advice, you know, this surgeon's medical advice. So he said, well, if you're not going to listen to me, I'm not going to listen to you. The other, well, because my relative was a member of the Masons and he wasn't going to leave, even though his pastor told him, you must. As I said, I didn't know him closely. You'd see him occasionally at a family gathering. And we went to his 90th birthday celebration. 90 years, good long life. By that time, his health was poor, and it was declining, and it would decline rapidly after that. And so as he was approaching death, I was asked by family if I would do his funeral, being a, you know, part of the family as a pastor. I said, well, let me talk to him first, because I knew his reputation. So I went and visited him in his home, and hospital bed was set up. He was on a lot of medication, and he was weak and unable to take care of himself. He had an in-home nurse, and his son was living with him to take care of him. And my hope that I would find a humbled man, a repentant man, and I didn't. We didn't have a lot of opportunities to talk because of his medication, and conversations were brief. I prayed for him. I read God's word, and I started to read the Commendation of the Dying. This is a rite that we have that's full of scripture and prayer, and that it begins with a confession, an absolution. So I read, do you believe that you are a poor, miserable sinner? And he laughed out loud. He would not acknowledge that, and I pleaded with him gently, sternly, knowing what's on the line, but to no avail. I wanted to speak God's words of forgiveness to him, but he didn't want forgiveness. I wanted, you know, like an oil dealer bringing free oil to those foolish virgins. They didn't think they needed it. Well, because of this, I declined to do the funeral, and there was no evidence of saving faith, no evidence of Christ in him, no evidence of oil in the lamp, you might say. And it was only a few days later that he died. And perhaps the Holy Spirit worked in him and brought him to faith before he died. I don't know. The Lord knows, and we'll know someday. I do know many who have returned to faith at the end of their lives. Even though they had been away a long time, Christ's grace is sufficient, even for that deathbed convert. Before death, there is time to receive oil for the lamp, you might say. But just because oil is available doesn't mean a person wants it. My relative didn't want it. Just days before his death, confronted with this, when a person dies in unbelief, well, they're unprepared to meet the Lord. And for them, the door to the feast is shut. They will hear the Lord say, truly I say to you, I do not know you. And Jesus tells us this parable so that we watch for him attentively, eagerly, expectingly, knowing he's coming. This parable tells us that it's foolish to not be ready for Christ to come, whether in death or when he returns in glory at the end of the age. And it speaks to the reality that not everyone who appears to be a part of the church are in the true church. Christ knows who's in the church, and he knows who's not. We only know what we can observe. In the parable, all 10 virgins were invited to the wedding feasts, all took their lamps to meet the bridegroom. They're all together. The difference is that the wise had oil, the foolish did not. The wise were prepared, the foolish were not. At the time of my relative's death, he was not even a part of the visible church. There was no ambiguity there. He had stopped identifying as a Christian many years prior, but at one time he was a part of the visible church. Even the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, he was baptized, confirmed in the faith, a member of an LCMS congregation. Like I said, I didn't know him well, so maybe he had never had the oil. Maybe he never really believed. Maybe he rejected his baptism before anybody could instruct him in the faith. Maybe he went through confirmation without believing what he publicly confessed. Maybe confirmation was just something he did because his parents wanted him to, or his friends did. Or maybe at one time he really did believe in his heart that Jesus is the Christ. Maybe Maybe he had been repentant of sins and trusting in the grace in which he had been baptized. And then later, other things drew him away. Pursuing his career was very important. Raising his family, of course, is important. And as they said, he loved to go hunting and fishing and enjoy life. Somewhere along the line, he no longer heard God's word or received Christ's body and blood, Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, salvation, and until eventually, well, there was no oil. He wasn't prepared. And for those who are unrepentant of their sins, those who don't know or believe Jesus, when they die, the door to Christ's wedding feast, it's shut. Jesus will say, I don't know you. But those who are alive, until Jesus returns, there is time. There is still time. If you know somebody who's been away from church, you can invite him back. You know someone who's maybe living an ongoing, unrepentant sin, you can call them to repentance, to trust in the mercy and forgiveness of Christ. If you know someone who doesn't know Jesus, you can introduce them. You can invite them to church. Since we don't know the hour when Jesus will return, Jesus admonishes us to be watchful so that we may reign in his grace. And so we are. We do come to services. We are prepared. We're reminded daily of our baptism, as we're reminded by Luther. You make the sign of the cross when you get up in the morning before you go to bed. You pray. You trust. You live by faith and look to him in penitent faith, trusting in what he has done for you on the cross. This is what we do, called daily to repentance so that we're restored by grace. We attend worship regularly to hear God's law and his gospel. We confess our sins so that we hear Christ's words of forgiveness and trust that. In Holy Communion, we receive the forgiveness that Christ has won for us on the cross. It's a foretaste of that wedding feast to come. We are privileged to participate in the wedding feast. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we are guests of the wedding feast. To you, the door is open. God has given you faith. He's filled you with his grace. Jesus says, I know you. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand for the offertory. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord, you are our help and deliverer. We bring to you the prayers and petitions of your people, that you may grant us all things needful and guard us against all things harmful. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, preserve your people from believing that you are pleased with us because of our works, our ceremonies. Grant that what we do in worship and prayer may proclaim salvation in Christ Jesus alone. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, you bestow favor and honor and Withhold nothing from those who walk uprightly. Bless parents and those who teach children your ways, that generations to come would love your promises, walk in your truth, and dwell in your house. Lord, in your mercy. Righteous God, you despise corruption and command justice. Embolden our rulers and all in authority to enact and defend measures that preserve peace and provide justice for all. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, show mercy to those who cry aloud as they await your Son's coming in glory, including Mary, Joe, Peter, Lynn, Ben, Joanne, Mark, Lewis, Arlene, Marlis, Tim, Greg, Diane, Ruth, Kathy, Lacey, Joyce, Haley, Marlene, Arlene, Nancy, Amy, Sarah, Kara, Marlis, Erno, Ben, and Jim. Answer them with strength and healing, comfort and hope. Make them confident in Christ, who will raise his people on the last day. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, your Son will descend from heaven with a cry of command. Raise those who have fallen asleep and deliver us to your kingdom of glory. Until that day, strengthen us by his body and blood and prepare us for his coming in glory. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, grant that we may not grieve as those who have no hope, but rejoice and encourage each other in the promise of the resurrection to life everlasting. Especially strengthen and comfort the family of Audrey Kalbreyer. Lord, in your mercy. God of our salvation, we know neither the day nor the hour of Christ's return, but we know that he has died and is risen again to open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Until that day, preserve us in faith and guard us from temptation. Do not let us be caught unprepared for his coming. Let us live our days in loving service and joyful expectation of the life of the world to come. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The grace of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. The true body of Christ, given for you. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given for you. The very blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink. This is the very blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink. The very blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink. This is the very blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink. This is the very blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. welcome to the table of the Lord. Carter, the Lord bless you and keep you in your baptismal grace. Take and eat the very body of Christ given unto death for you. Iris, the Lord bless you and keep you in your baptismal grace. Take and eat the very body of Christ given unto death for you. And Xavier, the Lord bless you and grant you a saving faith. Shelby, the Lord bless you and grant you a saving faith in Christ. And eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. The true body of Christ, given for you. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ, given for you. Pray, the Lord bless you and keep you in your baptismal grace. Take and eat. The true body of Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and drink the very blood of Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink. This is the very blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Ellie, the Lord bless you and keep you in your baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. The very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.